Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
A lot of people in sports, some may not know what's going on, but certainly a lot of people have seen the back and forth between Megan Rapinoe, the great soccer player, female soccer player for the United States women's team, and Draymond Green in talking about women's pay. Now, the United States women's national team sued the United States Soccer Federation in 2019, I believe it was, because they're not getting equal pay to the men. And, you know, they've been making a lot of noise about it, a stink about it. And Draymond came out a few days, and Rob G, correct me if I get any of this wrong. Draymond came out a few, actually last month, and said, or was it a week ago? Recently.
I thought it was during the All-Star.
2 weeks ago. And he said, you know, stop complaining. Not stop complaining, but, you know, just complain is not enough. I'm paraphrasing. You got to come up with a plan to get more money. Because he said it all boils down to the revenue. That's what the owners are all, or the presidents or whoever's running the organization. They're always going to say it's based on revenue. So you have to come up with a plan to up your revenue. And what he said was the NBA wasn't always the league it is. They became this league by telling the stories and, you know, all these great stories and making their players better known. And that's what you have to do. Who's telling your stories? That's essentially what he was saying. Who's telling the great stories about Sue Bird and Brittany Griner and so on and so forth? And Megan Rapinoe came out and was very critical of him. She said that he showed his whole ass. That's what she said. She said, you don't know what you're talking about. You could know. I'm paraphrasing her too. You could know because you could reach out to any of us or any of these women's basketball players and find out. Rapinoe basically saying we're doing stuff. It's not on us. We need the people that say they support women in their quest to get equal and fair pay to support the sport, whether that's attending more games, promoting the game, getting more, you know, it's better television coverage and so on and so forth. And so they've gone back and forth on that. And it's an interesting situation. Rob, I think you got some comments on this, and I certainly do. But what do you think is about this?
I agree with her in that, first of all, Draymond, this is like, why are you in this fight? Why are you even sticking your nose in this if you're not going to just support them?
And he was trying to be supportive, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the way it came across. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
they admitted that, too, that we know he's an ally, but
The way it came out, that's not right. the way you want to do it. And if he would have just said support to the to women's sports or whatever it is, you know what I mean?
You can say that in private to him, right?
Right.
If you really
exactly.
got a plan, just say
exactly.
it in private.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go, Chris. Everything doesn't have to be blast publicly, okay?
Right.
You could still pick up
it
the phone.
It looked like you were chastising
you could still,
him.
Right. That's what it came across as, and I don't blame them for not being happy with that. So I think women have been underappreciated and underpaid in certain circumstances, not all, because it is about revenue and you get paid, the more money
Bottom
you can
line.
Generate, the more money you should have access to. And I mean, everybody, I don't care what company it is, Chris, what business you're selling hot dogs.
Right.
the more money you make, the more that people should have.
You know this, Rob, the argument can't be, we work just as hard.
No, we know you do.
But you know what? We work just as hard as Colin Cowherd, right?
Right, but we don't make as much revenue.
Money.
Exactly.
So
we know that
it is what it is.
Right, and that's part of the equation. But I'm going to take it one step further when we talk about this, and I'm just going to say, the one thing I'm most disappointed in when we talk about women's sports, why women's sports aren't covered the same, why they don't get the same access to television and big games and all that kind of stuff is, Chris, women won't support the women's leagues. There are more women than men. If women, I'm telling you, you know this, Chris, you're in the newspaper business. If the WNBA games were packed right at Madison Square Garden for the Liberty, they would have a beat writer who travels with
the team.
If if when their games were on television, they got a equivalent or close to TV rating as a Knicks or Nets game, they would be, the advertisers would flock to it. People would go, there's a big WNBA game on.
Yep.
But the numbers are minuscule. And I'm going to say this.
I agree with you, Rob.
You can't blame the men, right, for not being behind this when the women won't. And I don't know what it is. I'm not here to bash women's sports, but I would love to hear from women too out there. Women don't support women's sports. Chris, when I've been married for a long time. I never had a woman say to me, "Hey, would you like to go to a WNBA game on a Friday night or take me out?" You know what I mean? Like invite me
to
a WNBA game?
Well, have you ask you out?
Yeah, that's another question. It's been a long time.
Let's keep it fair.
Yeah, that's true. But you see my point, though.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Exactly. Is that going on? That's what guys do. We want to go out on a date, Chris. Hey, you want to go to the Lakers game? You want to go to the Clippers game? Right?
Right.
Do women do that? Tell their boyfriends or their husbands, "I got tickets. You know, for the Sparks. Let's go to the Sparks game on Saturday night." This is what I'm just saying is that the support, if women don't support it, how can you be mad at men for not supporting it? That's my only knock I'm going to say. Do women, if they generate the money, they deserve equal, fair pay, whatever, Chris. I'm all for that. But to cry about why they don't get the same attention is based on the numbers. The numbers aren't there.
I totally agree. Let me say to Megan Rapinoe, from what I've read, now I know that the United States Soccer Federation and the United States Women's National Team, they can't agree on whether the women or the men generate more money. But I've seen numbers that over the last few years, the women's national team has generated more money for the United States Soccer Federation than the men's team. If that's the case, then the women should not be getting equal to the men. They should be getting more than the men. As we said, right, it's based on revenue. All right? So I'm totally with women. Like, even if you said it was like the NBA players get roughly 50% of the league revenue that's generated. WNBA players should get that. Soccer women should get the same split as the men get.
Yep.
Whatever the case. So, but to your point, Rob, it's going to be based on revenue, period. Don't tell me the WNBA women should make as much money as the NBA players when you're not generating a fraction of the money that they're making.
Right. There's got to be some revenue that's coming out that's going back. That's basic economics.
And also, Rob, and you know this too, it is not, if the newspaper covered the WNBA as much as the NBA, it would be as popular.
Right.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
But my point,
you
Chris,
can't
about
just,
the attendance
you know what I mean? It's
and
not
the
just
TV
put it
numbers.
In their face.
Right.
Right. The TV
they have to
women's
have that.
Games are on TV.
Right.
The NCAA women's tournament was on TV. It didn't generate the same numbers. And that, look, it is what it is. Now, you said it right, Rob. Women, I don't know. I don't know if they're more into men's sports. I think so. I don't know the numbers.
Right.
Though. But you're right. They aren't going to the WNBA games or any of these women's sports games and packing them out. If they do, and then they start generating more money, then you can get the same money as the men's sport that generates more revenue.
Right.
It's really as simple as that.
Right. The push should be, Chris, that moms and women and girlfriends make a night out, that they go to these games, right?
Right.
And that's what you're going to, that's how you increase TV ratings, interest, why newspapers and internet and all these other places are covering this and why it becomes important. But you have to have the fan support otherwise. And it's, you know what, Chris? It's no different than those football leagues they started in the spring. What happened?
They
guys didn't got right. they. It wasn't automatic.
Right.
It wasn't automatic. And you know what happened? Even the XFL with McMahon behind it and all that, Chris, and the networks. Guess what? They flopped and they went off the air because people don't want it. They want NFL football.
Those were male football players, and they didn't get a dime. Because you got to generate revenue,
there you
period.
Go.
And I'll say this, right? Look, male, for whatever reason, I mean, male models, there are certain things more associated, you know, like male models don't make the same money as female models.
Right. Nope.
They don't. They don't make close to it. And so there are, you know, it's in some situations, obviously, we need to make sure women get equal pay in more instances than not, because that's a rarity that you have a field where males don't get what the women get, but they don't. And so it's all about revenue. Male models aren't as famous as female models. Just like in most cases, women's athletes, it's a rarity that a female athlete becomes like a cultural national icon. Some do, Serena. There have been others. But it's rare. It's much more rare than the male athlete in America. And so these are the things that go into the different pay scales.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Dick Vitale made some comments. I'm going to let Rob G kind of set the table, and then Rob and I will get into it.
Thanks, Chris. Well, as you guys know, the transfer portal is all the rage this college basketball.
And this started because of COVID.
Yes. Now, and it's not even just this offseason. It's been happening during the season, just before the season, like you mentioned, because of COVID. In total, right now, over 1,200 names in the men's basketball transfer portal, which is on average 3.5 players per program. So it's rampant.
And that means they can transfer and play the
immediately.
Next season.
No sitting out.
Were there transfers during the season?
You can play the following season. Yes.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
It just means you can't.
But you used to have to sit out all year.
Sit out a year. That was the deterrent for
guys
wanting to transfer. Right.
Right. So most people believe that the freedom is a good thing. One person who does not, however, is ESPN college basketball, Dick Vitale. He's a friend of the show, been on a couple times. Here's what he said on Twitter earlier on Friday. This transferring all over the place is going to destroy our game. The NCAA should think twice before officially making it that players can transfer without sitting out 1 year. The chaos, all caps chaos, going on is sickening. Again, all caps. You should only allow players to transfer without sitting out when a coach leaves, end quote.
Rob, you want to add that first?
You could start if you want. I just don't agree with Dick Vitale, but go ahead, Chris.
One thing I do agree with him on the, if you were to limit transferring but let me put it this way. This is craziness. I do agree that, I mean, if you got 3.5 players per team transferring, it's very hard to run a basketball program. I think what he said at the end makes some sense, that you can transfer and play right away if your coach leaves the program. We know that's a big draw for the players to go to the schools they pick. But what I would say is this, college basketball, like, it's making it, when guys transfer like this, Rob, it makes it kind of like the pros. Because it's like every guy, he's a free agent. And they can go wherever they want. And I get why that's not good for college basketball. But what I would say is it's been like the pros for the coaches and the administrators for decades now. And in credit to Dick Vitale, he has said players should be paid. So what I'm saying is, let's fix all of it right now. I agree with you. You can't have guys just running all over the place where they want to play, transferring left and right. But let's fix all of it. Let's get these dudes the money they deserve. Let's get them paid. Let's make it fair. And then if they're getting paid and they have something akin to a contract, then you stay where you're at unless the coach leaves and then you can go elsewhere.
No,
so
see,
I say fix it all. Don't just harp on this part when there's so much chaos going on.
See, I disagree that people should have the right to leave because maybe the coach promised you something that he didn't deliver on. Maybe things have changed and some guy who they brought to the program became a star in the position you're in and you're not playing. And maybe there's a better opportunity for you. It's about the kids and their education. And the kids who are transferring, Chris, aren't the main parts of any college program. If they're the star players or they're balling, most
they were like 40% of the players in the Final Four.
But obviously they weren't happy with where they were. And I'm just saying, what's the difference if it's about the kids' education and the kids getting an opportunity to play college basketball? Why can't it just be about the kids wanting to be happy? If you want to transfer schools, thank you. All right, you did everything you were supposed to do here. No hard feelings, and let the kids move on. I wouldn't want to make kids stay somewhere where they don't want to be. If they don't want to be at the program, you should bring in kids who want to be there. So I think Dick Vitale's wrong. I understand he doesn't like it because it's so radical from what we had. But change is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Let the kids find their happiness. If maybe they realize the style doesn't work, the coach, they don't like the coach's demeanor. They don't like maybe they found out during Black Lives Matter, this coach really doesn't have my best interests at hand, or whatever it is, that they don't feel they're a fit there. It's traumatic to move schools. I don't think everybody's just moving just to be moving. I think people move because things don't feel right or things aren't a good fit. And if they really believe they have an opportunity to go somewhere else, show their talents, be in a place that they're comfortable, I'm not going to knock a kid for doing so. And I don't want to see it limited. Let people have freedom. Let people do what they want to do. As long as they do all the other rules that you have in college basketball, if you don't want to play at North Carolina anymore because Hubert Davis is the coach, you should have a right to say thank you. I'm just saying. After that press conference, there might be a couple guys that might not want to be there.
Nah, you know what? You make a lot of sense. There's no doubt about it. And here's the thing, and I brought up continuity. Continuity is gone in college basketball.
Right. This
isn't the only thing that is hurting college basketball. We've talked about it. I mean, guys now, a lot of the best players are playing in the G League, maybe going overseas, maybe going somewhere to work out for a year before the NBA draft. So there are a lot of things working against college basketball as we once knew it. But I agree with you. That's a good point. Because one of the things that has made college basketball less popular, Rob, than it used to be, is when you and I were coming up, and even when we were adults early on, there was continuity. You knew year to year, Michigan State's got so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so coming back. This group's going to be juniors now. They're going to be tough. There's no more of that. The best players are gone after a year. So there's already tremendous turnover. So that makes some sense. You made a good point. I'll give you that. That's hard to argue with, I think. I do still think, though, they should be fixing all of this stuff.
No, I hear your point. I'm just saying, let the kids, as long as they want to play, you know, Chris, things change. You play college basketball, even on your scale. You had to say, no, I mean, you were a Division III.
Even on my scale.
Well, I'm Division III. I'm just saying.
I was a baller, man.
All right, okay, all right. I'm just saying. But, you know, like, did anything change from the time you were there with the coach?
Yeah, we had a second. We our coach, the coach that recruited me, left.
That's what I'm saying.
After his sophomore year,
he retired. And then did it change? Like, did it change how you were perceived by the new coach and your playing time? Did it go down? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it changed.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But yeah, I hear you. Believe it or not, Rob, I was actually on the committee that helped pick the new coach.
Really?
Yes, we had a few players and some other administrators. We interviewed the coaches, and then we were able to make a strong recommendation. And but
the
still,
guy you recommended, did he get the job?
He got it. Yeah. He got it. Did a good. He was good. He was young, but he was good.
Did he give you any run?
Did he run?
No, give you any run? Did you?
I started. I was a starter. Yeah. So I mean, he was a good coach. But yeah. So I hear you. I mean, that things like that happen. So that's fair. Because coaches, the bottom line is coaches can leave whenever they want, and it is the players have been stuck. Yep. And you notice, Rob, the thing that draws players typically to a school, I mean, there are a few other factors, but it's the coach. That might be the main thing, right? If you don't hit it off with the guy,
no,
you're not.
That's
why Larry Bird left Indiana. He didn't like Bobby Knight.
Exactly. A great player like that, he couldn't do it. He was like, I'm sorry. Larry Bird was supposed to play in Indiana.
Yep.
He couldn't do it. He went to Indiana State.
He left after a couple months, if I'm not.
Yes. He was like, oh, no, this guy's not for me.
Right.
And you know, that Bobby Knight should have been chastised for that he wasn't able to be able to work with one of the greatest players who ever played, coming from the state of Indiana, Chris. Like seriously, that was an indictment of Bobby Knight, for real. That he couldn't work with Larry Bird, who wound up being one of the all-time greats, from Indiana, white guy, all the other stuff that you would want. You know what I mean? Like that's your guy. What do you mean?
No, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You got to make that work.
Right.
You got to make that work with Larry Bird. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, college basketball, you and I have talked about it before. I mean, we think it's – look, March Madness is always going to be March Madness. I don't care who you could have thrown me and my D3 colleagues out there and people would be into it. Just because it is what it is, the one and done format, the betting that goes on, is darn near a national holiday on that first Thursday and Friday now. It is what
right.
it's you.
What is it not to like, Chris?
Right.
There's drama. If you lose, you're out. I mean, stop right there. What?
It's just the rest of the season, right? That's the problem. And so this is just one of the issues they've got to deal with, and I think several of them are a lot more weighty and a lot more problematic for college basketball than the transfer portal because – the continuity that Vitale wants, it's gone. It's gone.
Right.
It ain't there no more, period. So let the kids do their thing and you fix the game.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are excited to have our next host on. He is the host of Entertainment Tonight. Now, and last night, you know, moonlighting a bit with the TNT crew, our brother Kevin Frazier. What's up, man?
Yo.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
It's great to have you on,
You know what?
Brother.
Let me tell you how much pride I have in Kevin Frazier. Can I do that, Kev, for 2 seconds?
Because
when I met Kev, he was a weekend sportscaster in Cincinnati. And
W-X-I-S.
Look at this dude. He's a mega star, man. Unbelievable.
Hey, before we get to the basketball, you, as I said, TNT the other night with the, you know, that crew,
last
Barkley
night.
And Shaq, yeah, and all those guys. What is it like up there with them? I mean, how do you go, what's your game plan when you sit down with them and, you know, let it rip?
You know, what people don't realize is that those three are genius. And you got to learn how to get out of the way. And it's the hardest thing to do when you're a sportscaster and you're like, hey, I want to do this highlight. I want to say this thing. You really need to get out of the way and let their genius shine through. Charles Barkley is a genius. I mean, he's a genius. And you got to get out of the way. Let it happen. And that's what the main thing that I think about every time. I'm just like, shut up and listen.
That's right. I agree. Like, there's no bar, and you know this, at the old place where we all spent some time.
Yeah.
They are forever trying to find an NBA show that can compete with
They've
inside
tried forever,
the NBA on TNT.
It just hasn't happened, right?
Because it's Barkley.
Well, am I right? It's Barkley.
Yes, period.
I would say Barkley. I would say Shaq, but it's also the fact that they try to overproduce it. If you know right. at that other place, you could not. Somebody's doing a highlight, and you start talking about a movie, they'd have a fit. They're like,
right.
"What are you doing?
Right.
Shut up." Whereas right. here, they let everything just happen naturally, and so it feels so organic. And I think that's the thing. I'm shocked that they haven't figured out, let the dudes go. I mean, our final segment was us hitting golf balls. Yes. Nobody cares about them. You know
right.
I mean?
Right,
and,
right.
When Charles was yelling, nobody cares about the Thunder in Cleveland right now.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Right.
But only Charles can get away with that, you know, like for a league, and you're telling people nobody cares or nobody right. wants to watch that game. You know, that's how big he is. But definitely, I covered Charles when he played, so to see him where he is now is great. The other thing, Kev, do you miss sports? You got a great job, Entertainment Tonight. I mean, an iconic show. But do you miss sports sometimes, or how much do you still watch it, or are you just into the all entertainment and the movies and the music?
I mean, look, Robin, you know this. I mean, it is in my blood. I mean, my father was a coach, you know, with the
right.
Knicks. And so this is something that'll never leave me. I love basketball through and through. As a matter of fact, if my father were here, he might look at me a little side eye and be like, "You still doing that entertainment thing, huh?"
Right.
Okay. But my job at Entertainment Tonight is amazing. It's an incredible job, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And the things that I've learned and the things I get to do are crazy. And the places and people that I get to be around and the things you're standing on the red carpet at the Oscars, or you're walking somewhere crazy with Beyonce, and you're like, this is my job. It's unbelievable. So I love that too. But yeah, every once in a while I miss sports. I just want to do a highlight, man. I just want to do a highlight.
Well, we gonna give you some minutes to weigh in now.
Okay.
You know the game. You know the game. Yeah. You played the game in college as well. We talked yesterday. Bronzy Wells came out the other night. I don't know if you saw his tweet. He said that Chris Paul might be the greatest point guard ever. And that he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of point guards. Now, I don't know. I think he thinks Mount Rushmore is bigger than it actually is.
Four spots, right.
Yeah,
there's only four spots.
Is Chris Paul on the Mount Rushmore, I know you know it's four spots, of point guards?
Let me say this, okay? What Chris Paul is doing and what he's done for so long so well is the thing that gets him into consideration to be on Mount Rushmore. If you think of the greats, it's not just being able to do it, but it's being able to do it for a long time well. And if you look at everywhere Chris Paul has gone, he has lifted the level of play of others and continued to play well. I mean, look, he took the Clippers on his back as far as he could go. I mean, he was carrying everybody.
Is Chris Paul on the Mount Rushmore of point guards?
No. Kev don't want to say no.
I know.
But we already
I get
know.
It. You being nice.
Hey, that's all right.
Because here's my Mount Rushmore, Kevin. Rob didn't give me his because I think he agrees
with me. Let me hear your
me,
Mount Rushmore.
But he don't dig one of the guys. All right. Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, mm-hmm. Oscar Robertson, and Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, well, first of all, let me just say this. Do you, and when you think point guards, is Steph known for being a prolific point guard who is setting up other people, and his job is to make people better, or is he the greatest shooter in the history of NBA? So that blurs the line of a point guard, right?
I'll give you that.
And so that's where I could put Chris Paul in there. Now, here's the separation. The thing that you're naming people, and Chris got to get over this hump. He's got to get over the hump somewhere. If he wins a ring, then it looks different. Right now,
right.
being stuck in the muck, in the mire, and, you know, he's somewhere around, you know, elevated over Bob Cousy, but the problem is you got Magic standing around all them damn rings.
Right, right.
No doubt about it.
Right.
Let me ask you about the Brooklyn Nets. I mean,
oh my God.
We saw Kevin Durant return looking like he didn't miss a day, and they didn't even have Harden. They're running people out the gym. When they're all together, they're going to be tough to beat, Kev, right?
I think that, you know, I would say that Philly would be okay and that Philly would be able to handle them, but Philly can't. Philly will I don't think that Philly has enough firepower to handle them. Those guys are different and special. And let's just start with Kyrie. Love him or hate him, he is an unstoppable offensive force.
Yep. Absolutely.
Now put that with James Harden, who is an unstoppable offensive force. right? And now you have, just on the bench in the back line now, you have KD, who is an unstoppable offensive force. So nobody can have – you're not going to get those nights where, like, oh, they just couldn't score.
Right,
but
all
now
three.
You're looking at a, then you're looking at, oh, we can throw it over to Blake if we want to. And I mean, don't forget the guys coming off the bench and the bigs they have. I mean, DeAndre has fallen so far on the depth chart. And, I mean, that's a guy – DeAndre Jordan is – he would start anywhere else. Right. So all I'm saying is they are so loaded. I think they are unbeatable. It is another one of them damn super teams, and I'm not a fan of them.
Expound on that. I was going to ask you about it because, we all grew up together,
yes.
And we saw super teams in the 80s, but they were more organic with Bird and Showtime. And
drafting, and, trades, yeah. Not like yes. this.
So how do you feel about the players coming together and creating these teams?
I mean, what I think is the one thing that it's done is it's deflated the value of a ring. Think about that. Because you think about somebody like Karl Malone who tried in the very end to go to the Lakers, or Gary Payton who tried to get a ring. But think of all the guys who played their entire career and never left and never went yep. someplace else to get a ring. George Gervin could have gone and signed on with somebody and got a ring somewhere. Charles Barkley tried desperately to sign on somewhere and could have gotten a ring. And these days, he would have teamed up with five other guys. So right. you look at some of these people out there who could have done it in the past, but they did it. You know, they tried to stay in their place. They battled the Titans, and they did all that stuff. So it hurts me a little bit when these guys are getting these rings, and you look around, and you're like, well, you were playing with seven dudes who are going to go to the Hall of Fame.
right.
That's crazy.
Let me ask you 30 seconds. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
I just want – last thing. We went out to dinner not too long ago. This is not to, yeah. to – we went out to dinner. It was great. And it was Kev, Galen Gordon, who was a big shot at ABC News, yep. Stephen A. and myself. We went to Mastro's here in L.A. And was that not a great dinner? And I just want great you dinner. To know, three of us had short arms at the table, so you know who paid the bill for the four of us. Was that not an awesome night?
Awesome night, awesome dinner, and you're damn right. Stephen A. is killing the game. I love
yes.
that. I'm like, yeah. Go ahead, deep pockets.
Thank you, Stephen A. We ate
yeah,
up.
But look,
we ate up.
I mean, that's our guy. We love him. We yes. love him. That's our guy. And, you know, it was a great gesture by him. But, I mean, hey, brothers are making money now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he can afford okay. it. He can afford it.
He'll be okay. He'll be okay.
That is our man, Kevin Frazier, host of Entertainment Now. Hey, man. Great job, brother.
Yes,
it was great
for
to
being
have
on,
you.
Bro.
We appreciate it.
Guys, bring me back during the playoffs. I need to talk sport. I need sports in my life. So
I hear you. We will do it. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
All right. I'll bring y'all on during the Oscars, okay?
Hey, it's a date.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right,
y'all.
Cool. Yep.